Midday Magazine on 3CR Community Radio. It's now 3 minutes past one, and we're going to move into the documentary produced by Radio Australia, From Humble Beginnings.
December the 20th, 1939.
De lytter til Danmarks Radio.
This is Warsaw calling.
Ici Varsovie.
Australia calling. Australia calling the world. Station VLQ2. V for victory, L for liberty, Q for quality. VLQ2. Australia calling. I have the honour to introduce the Prime Minister of Australia, the Right Honourable R.G. Menzies.
No country today can afford to ignore either the fact or the consequences of war. And most countries have a natural interest in discovering why other countries are fighting and what they are fighting for and what their honest ideas are about what they hope to achieve.
Round about November, the Commissioner decided that it would go ahead with the proposals that we'd put up to the Sir Henry Gullett, who was the Minister for Information, was satisfactory, and we had to find somewhere to broadcast from. Well, we found some additional space near our existing Market Street studios, which was the headquarters of our New South Wales Broadcasting, and two small studios and control rooms were secured. And you might be amused to know that it cost the ABC a little less than 50 cents a square foot per annum for the space that we occupied. And the service actually started on the 20th of December. The broadcasts in those days ran from the beginning from as little as 20 minutes to up to 1 hour. It wasn't a sort of real program in the sense that the programs are done these days. I mean, it was very primitive. It was a still small voice from this part of the world. But I'm grateful to say that later on, when the ABC got control of this shortwave service after the war and started to improve them, that when there were biennial surveys taken throughout the world of shortwave services, and we actually reached the top as the first, the most popular of shortwave services in three successive biennial surveys. So there was a very big difference between this very humble beginning and hopeful, I suppose, and what actually we were doing after the war.
Sir Charles Moses, the then general manager of Radio Australia's parent body, the Australian Broadcasting Commission. So, from the humble beginnings of two small studios in a rented building in the heart of Sydney, Radio Australia, for the first time in its 43-year history, now has its own broadcasting complex, a modern three-story light stone-coloured building containing some 16 studios, located in a bucolic setting of gently undulating pasture land some 24 kilometres from the heart of Melbourne. But how did this site come to be chosen in the first place? Peter Barnett, the controller of Radio Australia.
The ABC in Melbourne at one stage had over 24 different localities where there were sections of the branch located, and it was necessary to bring it all together in one place. Over 150 sites were checked, ranging from one side of the city near the airport to other parts even further out than now. And the one that was decided was here at East Burwood, and 45 acres were purchased from, in fact, the Methodist Central Mission. This occurred in the mid-70s, and for many years it lay fallow, and there was no detailed planning to actually bring anyone from the ABC out here. But eventually, in 1979, there was a series of events which resulted in Radio Australia being the first cab off the rank.
And what were those events?
Well, before this, Radio Australia had been settled in a decrepit old biscuit factory, or a converted biscuit factory, in the centre of the city. And the ownership of that site changed hands, and the new owners decided to pull the building down, and therefore Radio Australia was given notice. And so the most logical option was for RA to be the first of the ABC facilities to be built at this site that was awaiting us here at East Burwood.
What has been the cost so far of the complex here in East Burwood?
The building has cost $7.5 million. As you may well know, it's one of the most up-to-date radio complexes anywhere in the world. One of the amazing features of the building has been how quickly it's been erected. In February of 1980, the decision was made to move here. Soon after that, the plans were prepared. In December of 1980, the first sod was turned on the site, and virtually 16 months later, the building was finished. The last few months have been installing studios and having it ready for the specialised work that Radio Australia performs. But virtually in 2 years, this whole complex of a $7.5 million project has come into creation, and much of the credit goes to the Department of Housing and Construction, now called the Department of Transport and Construction, and their team of architects and workers who've brought it all together.
But what of the building itself? Roger Hill, a project architect with the Commonwealth Department of Transport and Construction.
The planning's based on quite a few factors. The first, it became pretty apparent that the setup, or the way Radio Australia operates, it's not a hierarchical structure. It's probably got management services. The nature of the program departments act as, you know, little countries within this building. And so, and they all use the studios. So it became a cluster type requirement. The most central requirement was that each program department would be located near a studio. The next point was that they only wanted a single point of address for the building, so anybody arriving at the building would know where to go very quickly. They didn't want multiplicity of entrances for obvious reasons. Your old premises at 529 Lonsdale Street, but the radio studios, I thought, were very oppressive, and part of the ABC brief was that the operators and the announcers, etc., who spend long periods of time in those studios, probably it's a lot different to the home service radio where they're only in for 2 hour stints or something like that, they all wanted an external view. And this all gelled together, all these requirements gelled together into the plan form, which could be likened to an Australian boomerang, or it could be likened to a control desk, but it didn't really happen like that. It arrived at grouping as much as possible all the studios in one central area, and we've designed it with an impressive foyer that you enter the building to, and the public can actually walk up and look into the studios and see what's happening, which I think is a great feature. And all the other studios have an external window, and at either end of the building the program departments are located, all within pretty close proximity to the studio.
The Indonesian service was the first to broadcast from Radio Australia's new studio complex at 0900 GMT on Wednesday, October the 20th, 1982.
A Halo saudara pendengar, selamat petang dan selamat bersua kembali lewat siaran-siaran Radio Australia yang mulai petang ini dipancarkan langsung dari studio baru di Burwood East, suatu daerah perumahan alias suburb yang terletak sekitar 22 km ke arah timur tenggara dari pusat kota Melbourne. Jadi hari ini, Rabu 20 Oktober 1982, 18.30, merupakan hari bersejarah. Demikian susunan acara kami untuk petang hari ini. Rabu, tanggal 20 Oktober 1982, hari pertama suara Rasi berkumandang dari gedung baru di Burwood East. Dan kini, mari kita masuki acara hiburan pertama, lagu-lagu pilihan kita bersama penyiar Anda Hidayat Jaya Miharja.
Thursday, October the 21st, saw the inaugural East Burwood broadcast by the French service.
Amis d'Asie du Sud-Est, bonjour à tous et bienvenue à l'écoute de Radio Australie, notre programme quotidien en français diffusé en direct depuis Melbourne dans la longueur d'onde et la fréquence de 19,82 m, 15 140 kHz. Amis du Vietnam, du Laos, du Kampuchea, d'Indonésie, de Singapour, de Thaïlande, nous sommes ensemble jusqu'à 0h55, temps universel. Et pour vous souhaiter la bienvenue aujourd'hui en ce vendredi 22 octobre, c'est Jean-Jacques Portail. Journée historique pour nous ici à Radio Australie, puisque c'est la première fois que nous émettons depuis nos nouveaux studios de East Burwood, situés donc dans la périphérie de Melbourne. Des studios ultra modernes, et je peux vous dire que grâce à la générosité de l'ABC, eh bien, je pourrai vous parler dorénavant grâce à la fenêtre qui est derrière moi du temps qu'il fait.
The French service was followed the next day by broadcasts in Vietnamese and Thai.
Đây là chương trình Việt ngữ của Đài Phát thanh Úc Đại Lợi. Hàng ngày được truyền đi từ 5 giờ đến 6 giờ giờ Việt Nam trên làn sóng điện 25 thước 20. Kính chào quý vị thính giả. Mở đầu chương trình hôm nay, chúng tôi xin nhắc quý vị hôm nay là ngày thứ Bảy 23 tháng 10 năm 1982. Và thưa quý vị, chính ngày hôm nay cũng là lần đầu tiên chương trình Việt ngữ được truyền đi từ phòng vi âm trong trụ sở mới của Đài Úc Đại Lợi, tọa lạc ở East Burwood, cách trung tâm thành phố Melbourne khoảng 24 km về hướng đông nam và nằm giữa một vùng đồng cỏ xanh tươi nhìn ra dãy núi Dandenong ở đằng xa. Radio Australia, Radio
Australia, Australia. Tini, Radio Australia. บริการด้านต่างประเทศของคณะกรรมาธิการกระจายเสียงแห่งประเทศออสเตรเลียทำการกระจายเสียงภาคภาษาไทยจากห้องซองใหม่ตอนเช้าทุกวันตั้งแต่เวลา 6 นาฬิกาถึง 7 นาฬิกาตามเวลาในประเทศไทยตัวใบเชิญฟังรายการสำหรับวันนี้ของเรา
Over the weekend there was a brief respite from the arduous move from the old Radio Australia studios in the city to East Burwood, but it resumed in earnest on Monday morning with the Papua New Guinea and Japanese services preparing for their inaugural broadcasts at 700 and 1000 hours GMT respectively.
Good morning and three gelong yip lolgeta na welcome long number one walk broadcast blong Papua New Guinea service blong Radio Australia I come long on nupla studios blong mipla long East Burwood arasad long Melbourne my radio friend Douglas Gab is salim big plapin and three gelong yip lolgeta long Papua New Guinea Solomon Islands Vanuatu New Caledonia na Southwest Pacific tete Monday number 25 day blong October mi play start long Mackimol walk broadcast I come long on nupla place and blong mipla Long East Burwood, long when me play Lucien Penis Allpla Biscuit Factory, and me play Sava Yusin before long 529 Lonsdale Street, long Melbourne. Nupla office long we play good plamo, when him all display Allpla office, long city, long when me get all Nupla kind machine, long walk long end, long story and to place it look clean more, like get all planting and something, long halibi me play long walk.
Radio Australia.
メルボルンイーストバウッドの新しいスタジオから日本に向けて放送しています。
Tuesday the 26th of October saw Radio Australia's Chinese service emanate from the new studios for the first time.
这里是澳大利亚广播委员会海外节目部澳洲广播电台 Radio Australia。本台现在开始对亚洲地区播送普通话。
本台现在开始对亚洲地区播送普通话和广东话节目，使用周率19.83公尺，15130千克，25.51公尺，11760千克。欢迎各位收听。
And finally, at 300 hours GMT on Thursday, the 28th of October, 1982, the move was virtually completed when Radio Australia's 24-hour English service started their broadcast to the Pacific Islands, Papua New Guinea, Asia, and North America.
From Melbourne, Victoria, welcome to Australia Today with Rob Hoskin.
And a very good day to you. I trust we find you well today. It's the 28th of October and a pretty auspicious sort of day. In fact, this is the first time that I've said, how do you do, from East Burwood, our brand new studios, which we moved into today. In fact, I feel a little bit like I'm sort of making history because about 10 minutes ago, just before Arthur Burridge led us into world news, I pushed the button and everything started operating on the English language programs here. One of the other nice things I can tell you, apart from the fact that these are absolutely superb studios, I can look out the window and say what a beautiful day it is in Melbourne with a fair degree of conviction, because indeed it is a superb day today. And having a window in the studio makes such a difference. We're about 23 kilometres away from the centre of the city, and although we're still in suburban Melbourne, the site that our new building has been erected on is a vast acreage which only has the one building on it, the Radio Australia building, at this stage anyway. And we're surrounded by horses. So we look out the window and not only see a beautiful day, but also horses. Well, that's where we are. Let's get into Australia Today.
One of the eminent features of it is that during the 10-day period of transfer from the old biscuit box in the centre of the city to the new site, not one second was lost on air. And then just 2-3 weeks ago, the switches were pulled, and from now on we're, of course, self-sufficient here at Burwood.
The controller of Radio Australia, Peter Barnett. A new building, new studios, new equipment and modern facilities all add up to one of the most up-to-date broadcasting complexes in the world. But in real terms, what is the major significance of all this to Radio Australia? Peter Barnett again.
One of the problems that I think it's an international problem that shortwave networks have always had to confront is recognition. It applies in Europe and other areas as well. And we too, in Radio Australia, in the past, have often felt that our service, because it's not heard within Australia, it's heard overseas, has not had sufficient recognition from the authorities here in our own country. Many people praise the valuable work that's being done, but unless you can hear a service, you aren't so aware of it. So there has sometimes been a sense that we were, to a degree, a forgotten factor. This doesn't apply anymore. We now feel that this building symbolises the recognition shown by the government and certainly by the ABC of the importance of Radio Australia. And there's another factor that's not bricks and mortar. The other factor I might add in terms of that is that we will next year be having new transmitters working in Darwin, in Carnarvon, in Shepparton, which will be doubling our output as it exists today. But beyond that, there's also the very important factor that as an organisation, we now report direct to the chief executive of the ABC, and I think all of us feel that for the first time there is due note taken of the importance of RA to the nation as a whole.
Keith Jennings, the General Manager of the Australian Broadcasting Commission.
It is now, without a doubt, the number one building of the ABC. It's an outstanding building, and it does, when you compare it with the building that Radio Australia was in up till a few weeks ago, which was rather a disgraceful building, Radio Australia has now come from being housed in what was, without question, the poorest ABC accommodation to what is now the best accommodation of any ABC activity. And I think that it's the kind of accommodation that the Radio Australia warrants, and in no way can it be said to be luxurious and of quality greater than what Radio Australia deserves.
What do you think it means for the ABC in general as the parent body?
Well, I think it means two things. One, that it is some indication of the standing that Radio Australia has as part of the National Broadcasting Service. Radio Australia is not regarded by the rest of the ABC as being some poor cousin, but as a major important broadcasting aspect of the Australian Broadcasting Commission. It broadcasts to a greater audience than the domestic service does, and its importance for broadcasting in Australia and for Australia's relations with overseas countries, it is important that it be provided with modern facilities and modern studios. And so that's one aspect of it. And the second is, I believe it will set a standard for radio studio complex accommodation for the ABC for the next decade. We've built it with the long-term requirements in mind. It's the latest in radio studio complexes, and from what I've heard today, that several bodies, overseas bodies, have had the opportunity in the last few days to visit this complex, and they have all remarked that it is way ahead of anything they have seen in North America, in Europe, and in England.
The chairman of the ABC, Professor Leonie Kramer.
I think the most important thing to say about the Radio Australia building is that it does focus attention on the importance of Radio Australia as the external services of the ABC. And it's been tucked away in that rather inconspicuous place in Melbourne for a very long time. And it's been something of a Cinderella, I think, even perhaps for people within the organisation. But there it is in the kind of accommodation that it deserves, and I think that will highlight its importance to the ABC as the voice of Australia abroad.
Thank you, Professor Kramer, Mr. Jennings, Mr. Barnett, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. May I first of all thank you for the very kind invitation to attend today and to open the complex officially. May I begin by saying that it really is a great pleasure to be here, not only, of course, because of the splendid surroundings, the wonderful building that we are opening, but because of the significance of the occasion. For the Radio Australia employees, of course, the recognition of the importance of Radio Australia. There should be no doubt from the changes and improvements and innovations that I have been canvassing that the federal government recognises the significance of the work of Radio Australia. Its importance is reflected in the resources we are allocating to Radio Australia, commensurate with its role and its achievements. This building then could be looked upon, in fact, as a mark of the government's appreciation and, I believe, the community's appreciation of your efforts, and as an encouragement to you to maintain Radio Australia's role as one of the most listened to and appreciated broadcasting services in the world. I officially declare the complex open. There you are.
Good work.
Good work.
And so, with the official opening of the Radio Australia Centre at East Burwood, Radio Australia can look forward with confidence to a future of fulfilling its role as a major international shortwave broadcaster, presenting Australian ideals, philosophies and accomplishments to the rest of the world with a renewed vigour well into the 21st century. From Humble Beginnings was written and produced by Michael McCarty. I'm Barry Sieber.
My thanks to Michael McCarty at Radio Australia for providing me with a copy of that documentary From Humble Beginnings. That was as a result of recording a number of interviews with staff at Radio Australia some weeks ago, and they were broadcast on Midday Magazine about 2 weeks ago. It's 29 minutes to two, and that brings me to the end of Midday Magazine for today. I hope you've enjoyed the program, and we'll tune in to Midday Magazine every day, but especially next Tuesday when I'll be presenting the program again.
And that was Midday Magazine for Tuesday, the 22nd of February, 83. And that last segment, I think, was about 1 o'clock, or a couple of minutes after one, till about 28 minutes to 2 o'clock. Of course, automatically recorded via the SEC, or through from the SEC timer on this Sony machine. I noticed that there was quite a bit of high frequency attenuation, or there's lacking high frequencies on the tape programs. So one would have thought that it would have went up to at least 10 kc, but obviously it's only about limited to 6 or 7. Yes, the 6 or 7 kc limitation, due to the fact that the oxide was breaking down even at that stage, I noticed a very, very slight, or actually noticeable, premature wear, dropouts and so on. And of course, this is Wednesday evening, the 23rd of March, 83, and the buying new Ampex tape today, ELN stuff, which I paid twice the $2.99 for it, originally paid for it, because of the limited number of reels, but I then fished out this program on RA and noticed there was transfer of oxide under the head faces, and it occurred about every few minutes, and I decided to run a tape through after trying a few times. I decided to run a tape through on a cotton bud, and that did lift the surface of the loose oxide on the surface, and only occurred after about every 3 or 4 minutes or so then, instead of every couple of minutes. And I stopped the tape, cleaned the heads, and proceeded in that manner. So I did recover most of the quality. And the next program will be on the opposite track, that's track 3 on this side. It's all on side 1 dubbing at the moment. Peter Evans from early this year or late last year. Of course, the other thing I did was manipulate the treble just before the there was a build-up of oxide on the head faces, because I was listening off this machine here and I was dubbing it and compensated with a treble was about as far as I could. It was normally at about 7, and the heads were clean, and got up to about 8 and a bit. For about 6 dB loss of treble, and I was boosting it by 6 dB. That point was almost ready to clean the heads. So 23 minutes past midnight, 24. Over to the next programme.